So I just woke up. It's 6:10 in the morning. It's the day before NoobCon. It's a tournament today, and I'm going to do the ordinary things. That's my kid speaking next to me. She wants to go up. Yeah, you can go up. I don't really need to go up this early, and it's not the anticipation that made me wake up early, but I am very keen on being on time when I travel. So I have almost 2.5 hours to go. You always think you can catch some sleep during the ride there, but usually you don't. You meet up some people and you're kind of excited, so you just go through emotions or whatever. You always look forward to NoobCon.
Yeah, this is how we chill from 93-2.
This is how we chill from 93-2.
Hello, Gordon.
Hello there, Seb. Long time no see.
Not that long.
No.
For you. You'll be my first guest. The most important one, Gordon.
Thanks. And, not agreeing, but thanks.
Mm-hmm. And I'll be asking you 2-ish big or small question, depending on where we land. First, because I know that you played, and you and I had, I think you were probably the only one I actually had discussions about my decks with.
Because same, actually.
When I do it with a lot of other people, even though I know a lot of those good people, they're like, that seems so, yeah, they just want to do other stuff. I don't know. I never land in any real discussion, but you played at least this weekend, right?
Yeah, I did. I played 2 out of the 3 days. And streamed one, which is kind of nice, because streaming can be a bit of some things to do, so to speak. So getting a bit mix was awesome.
And going into, because that's the first tournament for the weekend, right? Or are there any tournament? No, there's nothing before Thursday. We're heading into NoobCon weekend. That's probably the big...
No. There has been like an Alice meetup at GG Bar or something like that before, but now when there's very much 3 days of organized things, I think it's those three.
And you played the NoobCon warm up, it's called nowadays.
Yeah,
but it's in the Skansen Crown. The I don't know even, I keep like, I don't know, don't really get what we should call it. So
I think we should say it's the NoobCon warm-up in the Skansen Kronan.
Yeah, this year it was, but it's been like the NoobCon, quote-unquote, last year, right? And the year before that, it was the Sia Borg. Also sort of a warm-up for that NoobCon, but
no, Seb, you're so wrong.
Okay, yeah,
it was different days, like last year it was the day off. Exactly, we just swapped venue and day.
Yes, that's maybe how it went down. Oh, anywho, this is why it's really hard keeping track on what that day and event actually is, but old school players have been playing Magic there for 3 years in a row, right?
Yes. Two warm-ups and one actual NoobCon.
And for this NoobCon, we had Restricted Mishra. And we had
the warm as well.
Warm-up was the same rules and everything, right? So you and I, we played some games the week before. And I don't think neither of us played any of our decks after that. So
yeah, it was a very good like I asked all the Stockholm and neighboring counties if we should have a warm up the week before to just test our decks or so on, and we were some people meeting up. Seb and you, you and me, two of them discussed some alternatives. You had some decks, I had some decks. I was thinking of actually playing one of your old decks. But then I started to brew with it, and it I changed.
Like, you sent me a pic, and like, what's this?
Like,
I was like, it's a deck? I don't know.
Like, what the is wrong with the sideboard?
Gordon has his own bleep button for the listeners. It's not me editing everything out here.
So. No, is it okay to swear on this podcast?
Yeah.
I thought you were doing like this.
Hey, kids.
Nice. And... Exactly.
I'm down with the kids. That's why. No.
Yeah.
No, I tried the Enchantress combo.
A bit too slow, right? Or.
Yeah. Overall, like, I just wanted to have a bit of fun, but I also want to win, maybe some games.
Yeah.
And I don't think it was the wrong choice because. Fewer bolts means that it's better, and fewer aggro. So
that's your reasoning. Who knows? Anyhow, yeah. We talked a bit, I think, before that also. Yeah. Like combo probably being better than usual, like some combo decks at least. And I think both you and I agreed on not seeing the Lion Dib bolt decks, but. We're getting into NoobCon later on. And...
Yeah, that was not... I meant the Enchantress combo deck is better if people aren't that aggressive.
Exactly. So maybe we weren't expecting aggressive decks.
No.
Somewhat maybe correct on that. And somewhat correct on combo probably being better than usual. Because of the mana base, right?
Yeah. And I'm one of those stupid people who... I have a lot of decks not playing for Mishras. And every time I do it, I know it's wrong because Mishra is just too good. Like, so just so getting it out there, people, when you see me playing two Mishra, I know it's wrong.
I guess
I want to play stupid decks and need the mana to work for those stupid things.
I think the only really, really bad combo deck where you... Where you should be playing more Mishras is probably some copy artifact deck, right? But I don't know. Do we have an Enchantress? Did you play copy artifact in Enchantress stuff?
Yeah. So, at Arvika, just a month ago, I said, okay, maybe it's the last time I can play my trusty, I think it's 5 years old now. Candle Factory deck to play Mishras and Coppice and Candelabra to attack with very big Mishras. So I did that then. So I felt enough like for that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do have an Enchantress deck that also plays Coppice and Mishras. And
you're playing four Mishras at that point also.
I'm not because...
Okay.
Double green is hard.
Well,
yeah, I'm stupid. Let's not get into that room. You're gonna see it at the next tournament.
You scrapped the Enchantress. I played Brobots at our meetup, and I scrapped that. Just felt that it was a bit too, for me, like hit or miss. Playing the draw sevens clearly, you feel. Especially if you're just jamming games, it's like, well, okay, I won that because of usually you have a quick mind twist or you have like early draw seven or something like that. Or,
but I kinda like
or the copies is the fun part about playing
But you did the fun thing. I don't, which I like a lot. You played robots with the ball lightnings because of the mana base, and I thought that was kind of cool.
I tried it at least, but I think both you and I, even though we played some, but we played some other guys also, I guess. But neither of us felt it was good, even though we played each other. So, and then you decided to go another route for
I decided to channel
warm up,
channel my inner Spike, because that's that's what I'm known for. To play one of these very spiky decks and try to maximize for the win. So I went to one of the really, really good spike brewers out there. And when I say spike brewers, I mean those people who really can optimize a deck to be as good as possible.
Yeah.
And with that, I mean Svante Langgraf. And I took one of his lists, because that's usually what I do. And then I changed a couple of cards to make it a bit worse. And that was it.
Yeah.
But no, Svante has actually managed to do something I've been thinking about a couple of years, but never managed to find, like, gone down from 80 cards to 60. Like, it has not been possible.
No.
So it was so nice seeing him actually having a foundation for me to brew on. Awesome deck. Like, I really want to give him a shout out for this. And it's a Rasputin Fireball deck. That
with
he played
four,
like,
Rasputins, right?
No.
Okay.
So he plays two of them.
Yeah.
But you went up. Three.
Three.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Because that's what I said. Like, he plays more of the good cards. I play more of the bad cards.
And but if you have a namesake deck, and if you want to try a card, like we did before the warm-up, I usually go for at least three of the cards if you want to try it. So I think that's nice, even though it's a legendary creature, clearly.
Yeah, but do you want me to tell a quick about the deck, or are you going to publish a deck pick somewhere? Or
I can publish. Now you said it, so the cat's out of the bag. No, I need to publish your deck list for it, but you can... Yeah. Give me the short
rundown.
Story of what makes it tick, I guess.
Yeah, so it's every color except green, and it needs triple red, and all the other colors kind of, except it needs blue as much, it needs white as much, and so on. So the mana is horrible, and therefore it's perfect with just one Mishra. So that was actually one of the main reasons. Otherwise, it plays some Lightning Balls, some Disenchants, some Swords to Plowshares, trying to survive before you're doing stupid stuff.
Yeah. And three the reach Rasputin. With Lightning Bolts, I guess. Yeah.
Three Rasputin, three Mana Vaults to be a bit faster. But the key thing here is it plays Sushis and Atogs, three Fireballs and two Forks. So he has a couple of play patterns. Of course, just putting Rasputin out there, waiting a turn, hoping you survive. If you don't drop a land, you have 13 mana, which is a Fireball Fork for 20.
Yeah.
Magical Christmas land, yes. But
indeed.
You can still do it. Yeah. Or use Fireball for 12 after your attack for 4. Like, it's okay.
Yeah. But you don't need it to do that turn. You're still like... laying and praying, you can draw it into it later on. Yeah,
and you can also Rasputin and just immediately remove four to play a Sushi, and you vert, like, you have 2/4/4s almost. Rasputin is not a 4/4, but kind of. Or you can use your Sushi and attack and so on, and then sack it to an Atog to do a Fireball for a lot. And
you're
also
right.
Fork that, and
and with the mana vaults, you have those also,
exactly,
like as a mana battery backup.
Yeah, so it's pretty much like hit once or twice with a Rasputin or a Sushi or a bolt, and then try to fireball for the rest, pretty much.
Yeah, and I kind of like the Atogs also doing that extra mileage. You need to be aware if there's an Atog being played. So
they did a lot, mostly making the opponent scared.
Yeah,
they did not do a lot of damage, but the opponent just took care of it. I had an opponent demonicing for a Psyblast, playing Lotus Psyblast to kill it before I was able to have enough artifacts to survive a Psyblast, because he has no other answers in the deck. Mm. I was like, yep, yeah, I'm okay with that Hymn to Torak. A Hymn that takes a Lotus, a Psyblast, and a Demonic.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that. So, it was fun. Yeah. Sideboarding into Mirror was my plan for all if I met Bolt decks, because I have the mana vaults for a quick Mirror, and they need to disenchant Sushis, and I don't know.
And
where some Sarah Angels.
Yeah.
And for Weenies.
My follow-up question is, where did you land during the tournament, and would you do anything differently now that you have 2020 hindsight here?
So I went 3-3, I believe. It was just six rounds at the warm-up.
Yeah, six rounds warm-up, seven rounds at the noon on Friday.
And that is, of course, a result I didn't want. But I must say, two of the losses I had were extremely close and could have absolutely been wins as well.
And then you played me.
And the third one, we're not talking about. No, I met this guy called Seb, which two games in a row had Lotus Mind Twist on the starting hand.
It's always like that. You don't remember. I didn't remember it was two games, but you.
Yeah, I do. I remember.
You remember that the losses. Yeah.
guy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So.
You remember the mind twists. The bad ones.
Yeah, but I also remember me balancing like the turn after both of them.
Yeah, I think we did a bit of a spar in that like sense.
It wasn't,
but I had more threats. I think it came down to that. I played Eureka, and you were because you and I shared deck list before also,
so we both knew exactly what we were playing.
And when we were down to like zero resources but the mana, I guess, when we at least had that in a sense, I just packed at least 16 cards that were creatures that I could just keep playing.
And also, like, I had a chance one of those games. Like, you drew removal and creatures in the exact correct order.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, because I drew one of my few threats, and you drew one of your few removals.
And that goes and for
then a creature immediately.
I think that goes for at least one of the mind twists also. You need the resources when you're playing a combo deck, but I think I took like maybe a mind twist or the right cards. But I took the wrong ones the first game. Yeah, I remember.
Oh,
that. That's when you had the
the balance was left in the hand. Yeah. But no, it was still fun. I knew that was a hard matchup.
Yeah.
Usually most decks won't say Eureka is a hard matchup, but I don't play counter spells. I play one mana drain.
Yeah.
And sure, I have Swords to Plowshares. And I also have creatures, and I can do the big fireball in the end. But you will play more creatures and have responses, and when I get to actually do my thing, you will have the answer, pretty much. I don't think it was a particularly good matchup, but still very, very fun.
I also went 3-3, so everything is good in the end for both us in the combo section of the tournament.
But I will play it again, by the way.
And clearly I will keep on playing the Eureka in some sense. It's always nice to, like, you can dabble around with it a bit, I think. As you can do with the Rasputin builds also. Is it Taunus Coffin or whatever? That's an old school build of it that you always want to try in a sense.
But that's just bad. Well, it doesn't do anything.
No, you get more counters.
No, you don't, because it can't have more than seven.
Okay. I think I did have a...
Yeah, you cheated before, so this we know.
put seven counters when brought into play.
And it can never.
You may not have more than seven counters at any time. Okay, yeah, but you can you can at least you play the rest.
How you much can is use it? Them and get them back. Yeah.
Yeah, and you get to save him, right? Because Thanos' coffin is just—is it two to put it in the coffin?
Three.
Three. Okay, so yeah, that makes sense. It's an excellent.
So you can play the coffin with his mana and have mana to save him.
Yeah.
Left on him. That's actually kind of fun. Okay, yeah. I'm going to try that.
Since I want you're to playing, clearly you're playing Trisks and other stuff if you're playing this deck.
Actually not. Okay, I'm just playing the Sushis because of the...
No, not your deck, but if in our next dream scenario. Oh, yeah,
the next iteration.
If we're playing Thanos' Coffin, I mean.
That is true.
We're probably playing Trisks at least.
I'm probably removing the Atogs for two trikes. Then I don't want to remove the copy artifacts if you play trikes. They're just way too good.
And your balance becomes even better if you can put stuff in the coffin.
I like this. Okay, I'm gonna try it. We'll see.
I have one more question because there's going to be a spree of guests coming on here.
This is going to be a long episode.
Yeah, no, I'm trying to keep it short, but I wanted you to tell me something that you cherished during the weekend. Do you have a specific memory or something, a night or anything else that we haven't talked about?
But there's so many. It's always this, like NoobCon is a special feeling. I've read some reports and some people thinking it's a bit too competitive.
I've seen that also.
And I kind of do agree. As soon as there's a shark, there will be an.
Yeah. I think that's been since way back, I guess.
Yeah. But as I'm not playing the main tournament and playing Rasputin of things, I don't really care about that. And just hang around with people. Mm. And there was one thing I cherished more than anything, but I do want to bring out like a top five list very shortly. But the thing I cherish the most, but those will be short.
Okay.
Is during actual NoobCon, so middle day, I was streaming with MG. We were the Dream Team streamers because someone, I don't know, someone just said, screw you, Gordon, I'm playing. Not sure who it was. It was someone, some content creator of sorts. But that was great. We were both a bit tired. And so on. Then Slanfon came and was not playing, so he helped out. You came in and talked to us. And we had a lot of people just helping, which meant MG could take a break and go and actually hang around with the people, because that's what I cherish, the people who come to NoobCon. And it's a very special crowd. I've been to a lot of tournaments around the world. And the crowd at NoobCon is special just because of this invite shit. Let's say it like that. But it is what it is and so on. And it becomes a very special clique of people. And there was a couple of Americans that I was so happy that could come this year as well. They had the largest crew they've ever had this year. Yeah, that was awesome.
I guess also we could mention that the tournament the day before had fewer peoples. That was not an invite tournament. So there were
more people.
Yeah, it was capped, but it was not an invite tournament, and it was fewer people that could play that. So
yeah,
at least the NoobCon, I think this must be one of the larger ones at least.
I think it's the largest. Yeah, we were 130 players.
I think we've been past 100, but
around 120, I mean, yeah. 122 or something.
And that was not even at the castle, the Skansen Krona, no. I think no. Because you can't.
Let's not talk about.
Yeah, no matter.
but yeah, it's it was just so awesome getting the time to hang out with the people during the tournament, and the venue we were at made it easy for me as well, because there was one great room to just talk to people, one room for playing, and
one room for streaming, one room for the
and the streaming room very off, so it didn't become this meet up with like 10 people screaming
and people too much. Didn't stand like around being loud or whatever.
But still, people wanted to help. Like some shout out to Simon Gauti, who came and helped a lot. I just came back to the room after a while, and he was sitting there by himself streaming because other people, I don't even remember who I left there with him, had left. And then the finals, I just ran across, was it Svante, Wheel, and Simon Christie, I believe.
Yeah.
Like, oh,
that's a good.
So you take the finals.
Yeah.
Because like they are way more serious when it comes to commentating than any other that had been there before.
I tried to get,
and I think that's kind of nice for the finals.
We had I went to fetch some like third game. When we went early on a match, I tried to fetch some, and they were like dealing up on their third game, and I was like, oh. So some people they don't want to play on stream at least, but it's great that they put some effort in commentating on the finals.
That's but nice. I don't know. I really want to shout out like Simon, those three, Slanfan, you. Mikitai, Jonas Statin, I think we joined.
Yeah, he did.
Well,
he did.
No, we have too many. I'm going to not remember everyone's name. So sorry if you're listening and joined. But my big shout out is for everyone who joined in stream and made my life so much more fun that day by actually being able to have some breaks. That is my absolute most cherished moment.
Yeah, that's nice.
But what I said before I need to go is...
Okay.
It's going to go quick. Fast,
yeah, quick.
I problem.
Yeah, run down.
Alpha the day after. If you ever come to NoobCon...
Get an alpha deck.
If you can get an alpha deck, or just reach out to me or someone to borrow one or so. But just overall, don't go home the day after NoobCon. The day after, when everyone's hangover, is one of the best days. And if you don't have alpha, there will be another tournament.
Yeah, there are always a tournament. I think we're going bigger and bigger on the tournaments.
Yes. Yep. So, like, just stay one more day. And the alpha was amazing. And some anti-games, I almost lost a lot of idiotic cards to Bonnie. But drew a last turn bird.
Yeah, bird is
a bird and a disenchant, because F Bonnie, he plays sit in a bottle.
Yeah,
God damn that guy.
That's crazy.
And yeah, the fortress reindeer Mitcha organizing that part as well as NoobCon. Just so great to have a tournament before with some good beer. The people there are awesome. And also a shout out for, we couldn't be at the Rotary Pub, but we still managed to do some things at the Rotary Pub. That is, because I'm one of the few people who says NoobCon is Rotary Pub. Yeah. It's not the tournament. Sorry, that's just
my... Yeah, you don't need like NoobCon tournament to be there, but it's nice to be there in some sense, I guess. Yeah,
yeah.
I agree.
So, I don't know if that was the top five or whatever.
Yeah, I think around five-ish.
Yeah,
it's nice.
I think so. But it's some like highlights, so to speak.
Yeah. And For the listeners, me and Gordon be talking about doing an episode some time now, and I think we're kind of looking into a deck that you, one of your pet decks from the past. I think we have. Let's not tell the listeners now, but that's for the next season, after summer.
But maybe. I have a deck I want to talk about.
Okay. Well,
the best deck that no one plays.
Yeah. And
that's a good episode title as well.
Yeah, the best deck. Yeah, let's see if it's if we have the same deck in mind or.
Oh, probably not.
Okay, good. Okay. Well, I had a blast hanging out with you this week in Gordon, and thanks for joining today.
Same. We're doing it way too seldom. Yeah. Thanks for having me for this as well. Mm-hmm. And hi everyone that is on the episode with me.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye.
Hello, Hank. Hey, kids. Hello, Hank.
Hey, kids.
Hank.
Well, happy to be here.
Hank representing. going into NoobCon, like the weekend-ish, what did you think regarding to bring to the table? Where were your reasonings for going into the... I guess we're all heading for like the main event, I guess, in the
exactly. sense of or both both the first two events.
Yeah.
So I've been running quite well since Event Troll Cup on Counterburn.
Mm-hmm.
And the deck really feels good to me now. Basically it's Ulla's list, obviously. Mm. I think any Counterburn list comes from Ulla in the end.
In some sense.
But then the Orc version, and then mainly the version Pass was playing. So with the Fireball and not the Shivan and not the Flying Man, but the 4 Orcs, 4 Dips, 4 Factories.
Yeah.
4 fireballs, 4 chains, 3...
4 fireballs?
Sorry. 4 chains, 4 chains. Lightning bolts.
Lightning bolts, okay, good.
The 3 blast and 1 fireball.
Yeah.
Like fireball has been amazing. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
So Miser, like going away from what I'm hearing is you're going away from the old school Flying Man Counterburn, yeah, going into what you're saying.
Yeah.
I think all and a couple of guys
but we still played the two Flying Men, and my reasoning was, are you really gonna sideboard in City in a Bottle if you only have seen 4 dips at maximum, no Flying Men? So for me, I don't think I would sideboard in 4 dips. Anyway, that's the deck I've been playing for the last 2-3 months. People who know me knows that I normally don't even play the same deck every tournament.
Mm-hmm.
However, I wanted to try it for a longer time, tune a deck, and picked a already perfectly fine-tuned deck. Doing quite well. I seriously thought without the Mishras, the deck is not going to work.
Yeah.
So I organized a 1 Mishra Odal, my monthly you join as well. And I went for 4 trolls, 4 dips, 2 orcs, 2 discs, and then the 12 burn package, and all the good cards.
I think that you tend to go for the like burn package, whatever.
Ever
since you did, both you and Richard did really well. Was it 2 years ago?
Two years ago with the BB-8.
Yeah.
No,
I think it was clean. I like it. So.
Hmm? Yeah, the thing is more that when I started old school, I started playing Prison.
Mm-hmm.
So Stasis, Land Equilibrium, Parfait, Twitterfault, all your threat making decks.
The fun
Yeah, I was the most favorite guy in on every tournament, and I just, I mean, it went okay, but I didn't win any tournaments or top eight was hard. And anyways, what a certain point, I tried so many different decks, and at a certain point, I went to the rock version.
Last
year.
Yeah.
And
okay.
We went to red, green, blue, 12 volt.
Mm.
And what I noticed is just the fact that the reason I did that is because I started traveling a lot. Me, Evert, Irvin, Wilfred, tend to travel to 4 or 5 tournaments abroad. And I didn't want to have playing every round till, 15 minutes playing that you make it. Yeah, exactly. So started playing that and really enjoying the fact that you can finish games within half an hour and have time to chat with people. And the risk is that you drink more beers.
Yeah, and get louder and louder and rounder and rounder.
That's Urban.
Okay,
quite silent.
Let's put it on.
Let's put it on my other brother.
Yeah,
anyway, so that's how I came to the 12 bolts. And yes, so for the past year, I'm basically on a 12 bolt list every time. So in the Odo, I tried Trolls. Two discs, because I also expected a lot of Abyss, expected a lot of Moats, a lot of the deck.
I don't think I saw generally Moats, but Abyss, you were spot on, and I also expected that. So,
And I knew Anton bought his second Moat, and I didn't want to lose to him.
okay, mainly Anton's fault.
That was my Anton package, yeah.
Yeah.
No. I mean, I really expected the enchantments to be much better. Also combo power, monolith, stuff like that.
Mm.
Anyway, Trolls went okay-ish. It was good. It wasn't fast enough in my sense.
Yeah.
Then the Odo after, I just organized a regular one with Swaffle. So when you allow Fallen Empires, but him restricted. And I played the version of 12 bolts. 4 Pearl Tridents, 4 Lord of Atlantis, and 4 Serendips.
That's also, you've been playing some Mono Blue in your past also. That's going back.
True. But then again with the 12 Bolt version. So the whole foundation was the Counter Burn deck.
Yeah.
I was just trying to figure out how can I...
put the pressure on, I guess. Right?
Yeah, because the ideal start with Counter Burn for me is Ruby, Factory, Orcs, next turn attack for 4.
Mm.
And then an ancestral would be amazing, but I mean, anything, but you need that pressure. And I really thought there would be a lot of control decks and a lot of mid-range. So anyways, tested that. I still need to play my top 8 for that. The deck was okay, but it didn't, I expected a lot of 2-2 Merfolk of the Pearl Tridents, 3-3 Lord of Atlantis, Lords of Atlantis, flying over my opponent because they're all playing blue.
It sounds like you tried to go wide in a sense.
Yeah. I tried to explore just what are the other options. And I mean, the Lord on paper is a better 2-drop than an Orc. It's just a double blue. And I mean, I added 3 more blue mana, so I was quite safe on
especially in the restricted format.
Yeah, so 1 factory, 3 additional blue. I'm around 16 blue.
Yeah, you're selling me on the... Also, I would like to have... This is going back in the time machine, the dance and stuff like that. Make sense, yeah.
No, I thought about that, but no dance burn.
Yeah.
You know, so you just want to get that early damage in. Mm-hmm. So, and I didn't want to go the lion route, which Swanta did for the past 2-3 months, because I didn't want to go to the 4 colors.
Yeah,
and
the lion de bolt, you mean, or
Yeah, well, Swant is playing the orcs, lions.
Okay, more lions of a critter based package. Yeah.
So, anyway, 2 months all in, been testing, performing quite well, but didn't like the feel of the deck. Then I was extremely busy with work, and me and Anna and Richard, we have this WhatsApp group where we always brew for tournaments. And that's also the nice thing. If you know Anna from the Netherlands, you can throw any deck at him. It's kind of like ChatGPT or DeckGPT.
Mm-hmm.
You throw a deck and you always get feedback immediately back.
That's nice.
He also helped us with BB-8. So it was the the Monday before NoobCon, I still didn't have a deck and I was extremely busy. So in the end, Wednesday night, and we were flying at 8 in the morning, so I had to get up at 5. Had the kid to bed, took a bottle of wine, took all my cards, started looking again, couldn't figure it out. I went for Swanta's deck.
Okay.
So that's two and a half months wasted.
Like creature-based burnish.
So four lions, two orcs, three counters, or two counters, I think. One counterspell, one mana drain, and the four dips and the 12 volts, something like that.
Yeah.
Played in the fortress on first. So the next morning, I only had 5 hours of sleep or 3 hours of sleep. At 1 o'clock, I sent a message in the WhatsApp group, the NoobCon WhatsApp group. We have for the Netherlands. Guys, finally finished my deck. I will see you in 4 hours. Went on the plane, arrived at Skanse Kronan, really loved the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going probably straight into results now, but it didn't felt right. I don't even know my record, maybe 3-3 or 4-2, whatever. Didn't like it.
Mm.
So in the end, on NoobCon, I played the troll version.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how did it differ? Which one in the end did you like more?
The troll version.
Okay.
I went 5-2.
That's nice. Yeah, that's better than me. Yeah. And I was at the
20 seconds
before the last round. I thought it was a win and in, but I'm kind of glad my opponent went ninth place. So
I only lost to Avert and to DFB in really, really tight matches with DB. Those were great.
I think you can't. Did any my X2 get in? No, I think
no.
Only
no,
if you had a no. draw, I guess.
So then it was 6-1-1 or 5-1-1-1. Yeah. But I don't even think those made it.
No, I think yes. One or two of them might have made it. Yeah. I don't know. But I like checked. Going back to that's my second-ish question for the last few minutes we have. Like going back, you actually tried a couple of them then before the weekend, and now you play two different decks during the weekend. So I have two questions. One of them is like, what would you do different in this format, I guess? And the other one is like a bit, how did you enjoy the format overall, I guess?
Yeah. Okay. So what I would do different is I would just play my regular deck with one Mishra.
And your regular deck is the
counterburn. Yeah.
Okay, the counterburn. Yeah, because that's what you and I had some chats during the weekend, and you said like people are doing well with counterburn.
Exactly.
Why didn't anyone tell me?
Mari did well, Ula did well, Alex did well. So
but your counterburn is, as we mentioned, the orc-based one. I guess.
Yeah, but so was Mari. So was Alex. Yeah.
But a lot of them in the top tables also play like the Atog-ish counterburn. Or did it? Counterburn? It wasn't counterburn, maybe. It was more
No. You can't play the. Or I don't think you can't play the. I also looked at the Lion Talk deck, which won. Avert had been playing that a lot in the last, I don't know, 2 months. He still found it not consistent enough, but it won. It did really well. So if I what do I do different deck wise, I would just go back to the deck I was comfortable with.
I
if you play a deck for a longer time, which I never did before, it sideboarding becomes so much easier.
Indeed.
Now I was every time I was looking what do I do? So that's one. And if you look what else I would do different, I don't think I would still have gone for Atok. I would have gone for.
Do you play any vices in your counterburn?
No.
That's because I saw a lot of vices going around. I think it's kind of good, but Orlan talked me out of playing any vices at all. I was like going for a troll shell, but had like 2-3 vices or something like that. I don't remember now, but I went through like the similar process that you had. But it's like, no. And I was like, okay, maybe that's not good. But I did see a lot of ISIS. But that's the ATOG thing, right? They also played
Exactly.
Ankh and stuff like that, so.
The list is too tight.
Yeah.
The counter burn list is too tight. You can and then making spots for four vices, one or two angs.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Yeah.
It's a complete different thing in that sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. And how did you feel about like the one mistress? Because you played a nodal and you tried it out like I did
Yeah.
also.
I don't like it.
Yeah, me neither.
But I mean, I listened to the podcast from Anti and this on this old deck. Yeah, and I and sorry by Eric Martin, if I got that right. And Anti said I don't really have an opinion. I have a strong opinion, but that's because I'm tending more to the 12 volt, and then you also want the early damage from the
Yeah, counter
factories.
burn and like landing ball, those types of decks are probably better with mistress, but yeah.
And for me, it's the fact that you become better against Abyss. So now any deck
You're
at
right,
least
you're right. Yeah.
has an answer to Abyss.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In that sense, I guess Moat is not as good, but yeah, I agree. I met a lot of control decks at NoobCon. The day before, I felt like more of a different types of decks. But overall, I agree with you. I think
And
it's grindier, it's slower. But I don't know. We didn't see the deck winning at least, so I don't know.
no, true. And on the other hand, Seb, we should have played our Angels and Dragons deck because
Indeed.
Odun went top eight with Dragon Whelps, Shivans,
Yeah.
and he did very well.
The blue,
Nice.
red, white to the heart. Yeah, we should have gone with some forks even in that sense. Yeah. That's what okay, good. Now I know what I would have done differently. And it didn't even go there in my mind before. So I think that's a good
You did it
combination.
last year. You did it last year. But
Yeah.
we play Serras and Shivans, and
Yeah.
he played Dragon Whelps and Shivans. So
Yeah, I think that would have been good if we look at the field also. It's
yeah.
a good like it's a good threat. It's also always a 2-for-1 if you have a mish like an early not a mish, but an early Serra out. So yeah,
Yeah.
that's neat. All right. Lastly,
Sure.
any other thing you wanna like the best experience you thought? I missed out on the one of the probably best things I heard, like the Saturday. It's growing, it's
Yeah.
getting better and better. But what's your
Yeah.
favorite? Do you have any favorite moment or?
Well, I mean, I read some reviews on Facebook or a blog post with some responses that somebody felt that the field was quite spiky and
Yeah.
less. I didn't recognize that. I mean, it has been a blast as it has been for the past. So I went in total 3 times now, I think, including the non-NoobCon last year, but Noob Fest.
Yeah,
I
like the
think it's
weekend
amazing.
overall. Yeah.
Yeah, but I think the camaraderie, everything was fine. I didn't felt that anybody was being sour. I had great fun.
Yeah.
But for me, so the whole thing was really, really good. The highlight, I think, is that the tournament you all on Richard me started as a joke on the Saturday for like
Yeah.
we should have called it the poor man's tournament because if you don't have Alpha, you're allowed to play with
It's
us.
the middle milk.
Yeah,
We
I
can't
know
go
it's
from that
Mjöln.
now.
I think I finally know how to pronounce it, Mjöln, but
Melamilk, yeah.
Mjöln. Anyway. We started it as a joke a couple of years ago with 9 people, and the year after we had 10 or something. And now Mitja fixed it, I think, for us that we could play in the rotary
Yeah.
on the Saturday. And all of a sudden, we had 23 players, and we ended up with slightly above that, I even think.
So sick. Yeah.
I didn't do much as an organizer, but it was. it was just amazing that you still get to play in the Rotary Pub. And the guys were really enthusiastic as well. I spoke with them and they said, we really miss you guys this year. And they need to give up their, you know, their spare time, because it's all voluntary as far as I know.
To be there, I guess,
for us to open up. And I knew after the first day, the empty tournament would be in Rotary. But it was kind of like a secret. And I know they have to keep it small because the gymnasium wasn't open. And
Richard played it, right?
Yeah, so Richard really played an empty deck. I didn't have an empty deck, so I didn't go there. And
Richard's also from the Dutch crew for the listeners. So that's why I'm mentioning it. Yeah.
And me and Erwin, we went to the clubs. So that was also a good alternative. Gothenburg has a very good nightlife as well. Anyway, for me, the highlight that we get to organize a tournament in the Rotary Pub.
I think that's a good call for the highlight. That's the thing I'm having most FOMO feelings about. So
I can understand. It was great. We even had color.
And usually that day is the best day because you don't stress starting the tournament. It starts when it ever starts. We have some gathering time-ish, and it's not a
2 o'clock.
Yeah, it could. It can be like a final. It can be a top four, but usually it's just like you won.
Went straight. Yeah, went straight Swiss. Yeah, last year, Pez won. Well, he missed round one. It's fine.
Yeah, Pez won. It's like okay, you're the winner. Whatever. He just like staggered in winning.
Definitely.
All right, yeah. But thanks for joining, Hank. And hopefully we'll see each other in, I guess, for me, it's the UTC coming up. But there's a lot of Odals in the future also, hopefully. So
we got, for me, it's Odal, it's Raging Bull, and then we're going to Switzerland. We're still thinking about the Plague in Norway.
Mm-hmm.
And then it will be Uventroll.
Yeah, that's neat. Good luck in the games that you have a final, or was it final? No, top eight.
No, top eight.
Top eight in the Odal right now that you're playing after our conversation here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the one of the things I regretted as a closure is what I didn't do, but not about the decks, is that I didn't create any swag for Odal. I need to start doing
I think people need to step up their swag game overall. Anton said the same thing in a chat, that he opted out at one point from joining the X-Files crew. He's just, I'm hanging out with some guys in the northern Sweden. I don't need to be in X-Files. And then he said, like, I need some swag, man. I can every game I feel bad. I can offer a guy a beer, but that's about it.
Yeah. I got offered, you know, stickers, pins, everything. And I'm like, sorry, I don't have any. I need to start creating some Odal swag.
Yeah, that's on your to-do list, clearly.
It is. It is for next year. Yeah.
Good. Okay. Have a nice evening. Nick.
You too. Thanks for having me.
Simon, welcome.
Hey, Seb, how are you doing?
I am doing very well.
Long time no see.
Yeah, no, not that long. It was nice seeing you there now.
It was good to see you. Yeah, I didn't speak to you a whole lot, but, you know, we said hi and high-fived as we passed each other.
Yeah, but I think we unintentionally hung out, because I think we were, sitting next to each other and sitting cross playing against each other, but
my biggest punt of the weekend was sitting next to you and doing that drunk draft.
Yeah, we did that also.
Huge mistake.
That's going from the Skansen Krona on Thursday to the Rotary Pub. playing MG's Drunken Cube, and I did the most excellent move of the weekend. I had a great chat with one of the Australian travelers, and I was like, "Hey, do you want to jump in on my?" I did the whole draft, and then I switched places with me. So, yeah, but you actually played it.
Yeah, I played. I played Kale in the first round, and my deck was mostly to make my opponent drink a lot.
Yeah,
and
that's what the cube is about, I guess. So
yeah, I ended up losing. It was actually really close, but I ended up losing. But he had to drink three beers,
three whole beers. Or how did you manage with the whole, like, because instead of. I guess it's a take on the poison thing, right? You get intoxicated.
Each drink was like each whenever a card said drink, you know, mm-hmm. so we say one drink, two drinks, three drinks. It would be like not a tiny sip, but not like a giant gulp. It's kind of somewhere in between, not a full, like, just, you know, like you were regularly drinking. You would just drink, you know, a
mouthful.
Mouthful.
Yeah, yeah, that's, exactly. That makes sense.
But yeah, so Kale ended up drinking three. He had to go get more beers in the middle of our game because he was having to drink so much.
So he had to do that for one match, I guess.
That was one, yeah, because each, I think it was just, you just play best, you just do play one game. So that was one game.
One game. Okay, then I'm very happy I left because I was like so tired and very drunk at this point already. Ugh. So,
but I was already pretty drunk as well. Yeah, it was, that was a huge punt. Everything else was pretty great on the weekend. That was just a huge punt because I should have been playing anti, and instead I got pulled into this, you know, oh, it'll only take 40 minutes. Like, well,
it took, I think I convinced you, and especially that's what MG does also. It's like,
yeah, I
put
mean,
you on your place.
No.
And it's like, you can't say no in the sense.
Yeah, exactly. Like, when else am I going to get to play it, right? So on one hand, I'm not upset that mm-hmm. I played it, but I didn't get in my anti-game. Like, so that was the big that was the big miss for me on the weekend, was I played one single anti-game because I was playing in this drunk draft, and then I went to go play anti and got absolutely demolished by Bonnie. Just like comically demolished. Like, he's like turn one land ivory tower, I'm like turn one land dude, and he's like turn two sit in a bottle, and just turned off like five cards in my hand because I had like bird city of brass.
That's a go-to move, playing sit in a bottle and ante, birds, negating birds, and I guess overall it's a hater move, man.
Yeah, it's fine. My decks are actually relatively well set up against it, but doing on turn two is particularly brutal. And so anyway, long story short, after a million turns, I finally was like, okay, blow up your city in a bottle, play a bird, activate bird, and he's like, disenchant. So
is it like a Chaos Orb?
Chaos Orb, exactly.
Ah,
exactly.
Okay. I didn't know that about birds. Yeah.
Yeah, so that... yeah, I mean, I like that on one hand because it balances birds, so it's not just a complete free roll, right? Mm. City in a bottle can punish it, shadow, disenchant, they can all punish it.
Yeah.
But I lost a Badlands.
But I did read up on the on your blag post there.
Yeah.
That two things regarding to what we already discussed here. First off, question. Only cider. That's your go-to move, or is it liquor and cider, or?
So my preference for drinking is spirits. Yeah, liquor or spirits is my preference. I will drink anything, but the problem I have with beer and cider and wine is just like the amount of liquid.
Mm-hmm.
It's so much liquid. Like, I'm just, you know, to get, you know, if I'm drinking a beer every round, like, eventually I'm like, I have to pee every 5 minutes.
Okay.
And my belly is full.
So it's
of
the
liquid.
Bladder. Like problem, I guess, then, in a sense. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I just, and like,
and you
I don't
tried have... not go, because a go to move here is just wait as long as possible for
as
the
possible
first
before you first go. Yeah, I've done that part of, and I think I get much, I drink spirits at home, and like, sure, I might get a hangover every now and then, but I'm like used to that spirit hangover. I feel like mm-hmm. the wine and beer hangover is much worse.
Yeah. I can hear you with that, because like when I go to like special, like if you have, I don't know, IPA sessions or whatever, I can relate in that sense, because the day after you feel like there's something more going on here.
You're like, you drank so much liquid. Yeah. You drink so much liquid, but you feel like insanely dehydrated. And like, it's really bizarre. Yeah. So anyway, yeah. I mean,
okay,
I drank
a few beers. Yeah.
I drank a few beers over the weekend, but my pref, you know, NoobCon day, the first round, I drank a beer.
Mm.
And then I was like, they have rum. I'm just trying to drink rum. So I drank rum all day, which is great. Like, as somebody that drinks spirits, like, it, and it was even, you know, was not the best quality rum, but it doesn't matter. I just rather drink spirits. And I drank, you know, a couple of shots, and I drank some rum and Coke.
Yeah, I sat next to you, like, playing, when you played Ulle, and you suggested, like, should we go for a shot before? And it's like,
yeah.
Opted out instantly. It's like, I'm an old man.
Yeah, I'm an old man too. And that would have been my third shot of the day if he said yes. So, I mean,
that's not that bad. And that was like maybe around four or five-ish, I guess. So
that was the last round.
Then I would also would have like celebrated the last round being played.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I was drinking, I drank one beer, three shots, and I drank a rum and Coke between every round.
Yeah.
So, which is good. Like, I was in a very good spot. Didn't have a hangover. And then, you know, I stopped drinking for a while before we, you know, left to go do other stuff. So I was in like, it was like the perfect amount of drinking. Like,
yeah,
in a good, really good spot, had a great day. But yeah, I'm low on wine and beer in general. I like cider. I actually don't drink that much cider at home as well. But, you know, if I'm going to drink something that I'm not super pumped about, I'm more excited about cider than beer generally.
That's nothing need to delve into too much. But I was just wondering, since I read your blog post about it.
Like, yeah, apparently.
You're being happy that there was cider there. So.
Yeah, apparently it was Lorenzo and I were the ones that finished all the cider at Rotary.
Yeah.
Because he said to me after he read it, I guess, and he was like, I wondered who else was drinking cider. Because I would go and there was, you know, there's only like four bottles of this one.
Yeah,
and
next
time I go, there's only one. I'm like, damn it.
Yeah, then you need to go for it. I have like, in general, because we're having like short interviews with everyone, I have like three-ish questions for you. And one of them is like going into, especially regarding this format, going into the weekend. You kind of wrote a bit about it also in the blog, but would you just tell me how your thought process was going from, I guess, LDB into ATOG ish,
I guess. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I didn't know I was going to get to go, so I sort of had dismissed the format, to be honest, right? Because I didn't think I was going to be playing any matches. So I had thought zero about the format. My
because collection... you weren't invited, or what's the
I wasn't invited. And I hadn't tried to get an invite, and just I'm trying to cut back on travel a little bit, but I ended up going anyway.
Yeah.
So, you know, so I just hadn't thought about it too much. And then obviously that changed very quickly a month-ish ago, about a month before the event. And then I went from, well, okay, the decks that I can build Swedish, you know, for reprint policy is basically Lined in Bolt, mono green and DFB green with black. Those are kind of, that's kind of where my collection sits from a just pure Swedish standpoint. So I don't have all the dual lands. It's probably the biggest constraint, right?
Yeah.
So, but I do have now, you know, I do have 2.5 anti decks. So I have some of the dual lands because of anti. So like I had Badlands, for example, which I
Now you have one less.
I have one less. Yes.
Okay. Sorry. Just rub it in.
Yeah. No. Just poke the knife in there. It's So I felt like DFB Green was very badly positioned. Because a lot of your games with DFB Green, you play Bottle and you blow up their Moxon. Your Crumble is really good against Factory.
And hopefully you get a couple of cities, I guess, also with the Bottle, but.
Yeah, but it's just City in a Bottle is like is very good, and then you kind of like you get to this point where you're either going wide, and then you're activating your own factory to go wider, or you get rid of all of their land so they cannot blow up your factory, and then you're killing them with your factory. Yeah. So losing the factory meant you lost one of your aggressive creatures.
That's kind of interesting, because one of the reasonings behind having one Mishra is the like aggressive, the early aggressive creatures will get better, but then this is, I guess, you don't have the threat yourself in that sense, and especially DP Green, you have Ice Storms, and,
right?
Some play maybe Winter Orbs, and like
exactly
you and. Clearly, the Scavenger folks also and stuff like that. The crumbles and everything. You have enough
exactly. Answers, those all blow up factory, right? Yeah. Those all attack factory really well, right? And so you're not scared of factory, but your factories let you play your City in a Bottle, play your Ice Storm by curving out, but still having a threat for once you mess with their mana, basically. So so I thought DFB Green was quite weak because of that. And then also an uptick in the Abyss. And you really don't want to play against the Abyss when you're on DFB Green.
Yeah.
Also an uptick on potential moats. Same thing again.
Did you see any moats at especially the NoobCon?
I saw way more Abyss than moat, but
yeah,
I did see just a couple moats. I think moat is, I heard somebody say this recently, is that you always start with moat and then you start trimming them down, then you put them in your sideboard and then you cut them.
Okay. Yeah. Could be.
And I think it might be just because if you're playing moat, you're probably playing for Serra. And Serra is already a moat in itself.
Yeah, it's an aggressive creature that can block. So you're right.
Exactly. Yeah. And but Serra Angel also terrible for the mono green deck. You do not want to see Serra Angel on the other side.
I guess that's why DFB and everyone, the terror uptick the last couple of years has been like
Hurricane
tremendous.
And Terror, right?
Yeah. Hurricane also. Terror. Yeah, Hurricane. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Yeah. I actually played at LobsterCon last year. I played DFB Green Splashing Blue for Psionic Blast and Ancestral.
Mm.
And just being able to kill Serra was huge. The downside of the deck is that you lose really hard to Blood Moon.
Yeah.
But Serra is a big problem. And I think there was a huge uptick in Serra. So you have an uptick in Serra and or the Abyss.
Mm.
Both of those really bad.
Mm.
And then, similar for Lion Debolt, you uptick in Serra and uptick in the Abyss is pretty bad. You do have your 12 Bolt. The problem that I saw is that also upticks. So people think there's going to be more aggro decks. The natural pushback to that is people play control decks that are good against the aggro decks. And people that don't like to play control decks play mid-range decks that are good against the aggro decks. And I think that's what we saw. We saw the deck and robots uptick. I think that's what the numbers would show is...
I guess so, but we also did see for my experience at least, the Vice uptick, tremendous. We haven't seen as much Vice as I guess in a long time.
Yeah, so I didn't... So obviously I played Vice, and obviously Jens played Vice, and we were actually really close. Our decks were... Like very close.
I played Charles for that was also on like Charles Klein. We only had one game loss or something like that. So also not before for the loss. But I guess maybe round four.
Okay.
He also played a lot of ISIS. So yeah, it's skewed when you're playing
when the you play against it, for sure. Yeah,
and then you're playing against what you're seeing. Like so, I guess.
Yeah, I didn't play against any vices. So I only saw obviously Jens, myself, and I think Mike Franz was on vices as well.
Yeah, I'm interrupting your train of thought there, but yeah.
No, it's fine. No, it's fine. So there's a lot going on here, right? I think that's the problem. You know, people when they say like. Doing one thing results in this next thing, it's too complicated.
Yeah.
I don't think you can say that, right? And I think that's kind of proven out. There's an argument that it's made no difference, right? I mean, ultimately, there was three decks in the top eight. That's about what we'd expect in a normal NoobCon.
I guess so. I think there's a slight uptick in the deck-ish like scenario meta, but that's my gut.
That's my gut.
Yeah, like, but that's just because, like, for me, if I would be I've been playing the deck like way back. This yeah. is a scenario where I would be like, oh, we're trying something new, are we? let's see what the deck does. I guess that's yeah. one thing of about it, and then also, as you mentioning, when you expect things, it yeah. becomes really like extended in a sense that we have control decks and we have aggro decks, and I yeah. think we kind of saw that with all the power that includes in the top 8 at least, in the top tables. We saw the aggro quote-unquote decks being not like green decks or anything like that, but the ATOG based decks with the...
There's only one though, right, in the top 8? So if I
yeah,
I remember
maybe,
correctly,
maybe. Yeah, you're right.
The top 8 was... I'm going from memory, so yeah, correct yeah. me, but I think it was 3 the deck.
Yeah.
3 kind of robots decks.
Okay,
which I call that mid-range. Many.
Okay, so those are the yeah, you're right. Yeah,
mm-hmm. And then I would, and then there was the insane red white deck.
The rook, no, not the fire breathing deck. Yeah,
that insane that, and that's a mid range deck. And yeah. then one lion tog. So for me, that is
you're
three
right.
control decks, mm-hmm. 4 mid range decks, and 1 aggro deck, and 0 combo. Which is the other thing is I think. And I do think I felt this as well before, is that the deck and Twiddle Vault are the two big winners
mm-hmm.
of this format.
Yeah, combo.
Twiddle Vault won the Fortress, so it made top 8. And I think there was a bunch of people that could play Twiddle Vault that didn't play a NoobCon, right? So mm-hmm. like Danny mm-hmm. didn't play Twiddle Vault. Mm-hmm. You know, Alan didn't play Twiddle Vault. There's some people that could have played it that didn't play it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how many people actually played it on mm-hmm. Friday.
Yeah, right, right.
To know... It's hard to tell.
Yeah.
Twiddle Vault is, I think, is very good. But if people have sideboarded for it, Tormod's Crypts and actually Vice. So in my theory crafting,
yeah.
one of the reasons I liked, so I think I wrote in my blog, I kind of hate Vice as a card. I think it's very high variance, but I felt like from Lion Dip Bolt, when you lose the three factories, like the way that you win a lot of those games in Lion Dip Bolt is you attack with a factory, you attack with a lion, you attack with a dib, you know, and they're answering all these, but you get one attack in.
Yeah.
And then they answer it. You get one attack and they answer it. And then suddenly they're at 10, 11.
Mm.
And then they're your one time, you know, one bolt into a time twister, one yeah. sonic blast into a draw 7, or just, you know, double sonic blast off the top.
Mm.
Suddenly they're in danger, right? Without the three factories, you don't have that extra 2 or 4 damage.
Mm-hmm.
Vice kind of gives you some of that, but at a really high variance cost.
Yeah.
Factory is not very variance because you just it helps with your mana,
yeah.
mana curve, blah blah blah.
And on Vice and Commission only like slightly edge you towards that in a sense. I
yeah,
guess.
I mean, Ankh can put you in like a kind of a soft lock. I think we saw that in the finals, right?
Mm.
Against Stebo, Jens basically have it. He leaned a lot harder on the Ankhs than I did.
Yeah. I think
I
saw
up...
that going around watching the top 8 also. Ankh, especially being the MVP there in that sense, not the Vice, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, it's the comp. The combo is
yeah,
good,
yeah,
and
yeah.
also, I mean, Ankh is really good if you get it if you get below the mid range decks, right? Because if they need to cast Suchis and Triskelions, the Abyss, they have to play 1 or 2 lands, and if
yeah.
you're dealing them 2-4 damage, and then the second Ankh or the Vice, suddenly they get into this weird position, right? So they
mm-hmm.
just kind of have to play out their hand, and then if you have the Disenchant or the Sonic Blast to blow up their Suchi. They're in a lot of trouble, especially if you're pushing with lions or you're pushing
yeah.
with top. So that's kind of how I got there. I mean, I sort of I just felt like Lion Dib was not quite good enough. I felt that DFB was not good enough. I didn't want to play the deck. I didn't want to play Twiddle Vault. I don't particularly like mid-range decks. I played a fair amount of robots, but I don't really just like jamming like 4-drops is not my favorite thing to do in Magic. Just not for me.
Feel that you're it's yeah this format is so weird
it's weird
and I remember watching you playing Ola and you having the I think you're copying you were up to four vices at some point, and you.
I did. Yes, you, I did
a, you did a wheel and just shrugged, like, okay, this is what I had to do. It was like, right. Looks good for me, but I don't know.
I think I lost that game. I think it was. I think that's why. I think I was already at like seven or something.
Maybe.
Right, and I think he was not at 12. Mm-hmm. I think he was at like 14.
Yeah.
So like, I needed to draw like Mox land, and then I probably can win. But if I don't draw that, I lose. But yeah, I mean, we had great games. We played three games, which is. I much prefer those games where that you get to play three games and you get a little bit of back and forth.
Yeah. And you can like have a Miser Loa or Mind Twist game and just shrug it off, and that sounds like
it doesn't feel so bad. Yeah, it doesn't feel quite so bad. Or even like the ancestral games, right?
Yeah.
The ancestral games. I mean, I think, and that's another potential downside of this format, is that it makes you even the Mind Twist games and the Loa games. Factory is a way to offset those games, right? Sometimes.
Like you have a threat in play or
risk? Yeah, so Loa, one of the ways to beat Loa is to race, right? And Factory lets you do that. And Mind Twist, sometimes your opponent has to go all in on Mind Twist, right? Lotus, Mox, and they don't have a lot else in their hand. Another way to beat a Mind Twist is to go aggro.
Yeah.
So Factory is a way to potentially offset those as well.
I can see that. I think they're... Going back to what you mentioning regarding to the combo and the mana base, I guess everyone expected more combo decks. We didn't see that, I would say. We did see Twilight doing really well. So
I think I saw
Thursday. Yeah, but.
Yeah, so, but I think people were playing. So I saw a bunch of Power Monolith.
Okay, you did. Okay.
Yeah, on Thursday. I did play against, and I can't remember his name, is a Swedish guy, played on Thursday. He didn't play NoobCon, he only played Thursday. Mm-hmm. He played one Factory in his Twiddle Vault, and he killed me with it one game, which was, and he was like, I don't usually play Factory, but since it was restricted, I thought I should play it, which I thought was great. So, instantly high-fived him, and, I ended up winning the match, but he killed me. I mean, my vice were really good against Twiddle Vault. As well. Another way that Twiddle Vault wins is Howling Mine, or Loa, kind of getting just like fueling up.
Yeah, and you're right. Yeah, that's Vice another tick up for the Vice. Yeah, you're right.
Exactly. Vice sort of pushes them to make a decision. Mm-hmm, and the same thing with the deck. Sometimes the deck gets to this point where they're just on like library, they're on library, or they're on draw go with book. Mm. And Vice, again, it gives them some pressure if it's down early.
Yeah.
They can also get busted hands where they're just like, land, Mox, Fellwar Stone is like a really reasonable, normal hand that's actually very good against Vice, right? So, again, Vice very high variance.
Yeah, like sifting through what you played. I think you played some like different kinds of decks, right? You had, I don't have a summary here. I'm just looking at your blog, but you weren't stuck in like, the deck somehow I went I sat next to you and some other guys and I was like complaining complaining when it was like counterspell number 3 or 4 playing against the deck. It was like, this is
I would have been quite happy. So I mean I wanted to play against the deck, even though I mean again it's similar to my approach with the Lion Dibbolt, right? Is I'm not saying I have an insane matchup and I win it always, but I feel like I have a game.
Yeah.
I feel like I can give them a game. You know, some decks
don't. No, you're right? Edging, like, you're looking like, you're edging towards it.
I'm going to play. I'm going to have plays, right? Whereas like, DFB green against the deck, I mean, there's not a lot of play. If the deck gets their power.
Yeah. I think DFB usually says like, if you have an ancestral, that's like, okay, great. It's like whatever.
Yeah,
I mean, there's many cards balance and whatever.
Exactly. DFB Green has to steal games against someone like the deck with the LD plan, which is valid. That's a valid plan. Mm-hmm. And if you have the Black Splash, you sometimes get the Mind Twist as well. Yeah. But it is an uphill battle, and like power is bad, balance is bad, the Abyss is bad. If they have Sarah Angels, that's bad. There's a lot of bad. Four Swords is bad. There's a lot of bad interactions there. But so, I want to play. But no, I played against the worst matchup basically all my, so I ended up 8th on the Fortress, 11th at NoobCon, and 6th on Saturday for the three events.
That's pretty good. Like, people don't really understand it, but if you're not playing old school, especially with the high variance, it's kind of hard being up there. So I'm very impressed with people doing like the same good finishes over and over again. But you're one of those people, so congratulations in that sense.
I mean, I think that I had a bunch of, you know, I played against robots. Mm-hmm. So like my losses though, like basically my losses over the weekend were to blue white mid range, I would say.
Yeah.
Whether it would be robot-y or Sarah-y or a mixture of both. I see a lot of mixture, you know, decks that had like Sage of Latinam.
Yeah.
Tsuchi, Triskelion, Sarah Angel. Those decks were problematic. And I knew that coming in. And my sideboard was trying to account for that. Like, the copy artifacts I played were amazing. I loved the copies. I played one copy main and two in my sideboard. And copy was...
Yeah, very that was one of the things I was, like, most envious of, looking at the other tables. The copies always seemed good. Especially copy with all the draw sevens going around. Was just like one other like enabler just throwing your hand down and draw seven. Even though it didn't work out for you in the whole game, there's a lot of like sense in just like
establishing your board. I had a game where I had three Black Lotus in play, which I ended up winning because I demonic tutored for balance, got rid of the cards in my hand, then balanced, and I had a Mox and a land, and my opponent had five cards in hand and five lands. So I won that one. But, you know, so there's all sorts of weird stuff that you can do with copy, which is kind of fun. And I had a couple Tsuchis. I had some Tsuchis, so I'm hedging a little bit as well. And I also, I copied... I copied my own Ankh. I copied my own Chaos Orb.
Yeah.
You know, just... It,
and you... No, that was not a cop. Was it a copy move? Yeah, you tried to play a copy and your opponent destroyed your Lotus, but then you copied his Pearl, and then you...
Yeah. So that was against... that was against Pefkin, I think it was.
Okay,
was
playing
like a blue-red the deck. Mm. And he, I had gone like, I think he might have been on the play. He was on the play and he went like lands go or landmox go. I went Tundra Lions go. He went lands go. I went Tundra, Lotus, tap both my Tundras, play copy. And he was like, all right, disenchant. In response, I was like, add red. Then I was like, copy your Pearl, which was always the plan. I was going to copy the Pearl to play my second Lion. Mm-hmm. So attack for two, and then I like triple bolt him, attack for two. So he's at nine.
Triple bolt is never a bad move in that sense.
Triple bolt, turn two, he's on nine, and I have two Lions in play. I'm going to have nothing. I think the last card in my hand is also like Time Twister.
Yeah. Before I'm going to have Christian on here, Mr. Reindeer. Before I let you go, I have a swag question from the last interviewee I had. And since you're the king of swag, I think he's just making a poke at you, but why didn't you bring any stickers, is his question.
So I did make stickers, and they came as I was boarding my plane.
Yeah. And it's a sweet sticker for the listeners that haven't seen it.
Yeah, so if you haven't seen the sticker, basically I had taken the NoobCon logo and I had written, since it was Mahamudi Jin, you know, a version of that, I had said, and I wrote around it, I grant you three wishes. I wish for three more Mistress Factory.
Yeah.
Sort of a little bit of a play on the logo. I will, I only printed 50. So I will be giving them to some of the U.S. folks who went to NoobCon, and then I will make sure that the remainder get to Europe. So
my suggestion is sending it to someone at, I guess, Hodel is the biggest next
I will be in Switzerland in the summer, so I will bring them to Switzerland.
Yeah, yeah, that's good.
And
that's
I will
good.
Distribute them to people in different that are going back cool, to different cool. countries.
Yeah, yeah, that's yeah. neat. And I'm so envious of one of the swag that I'm everyone's. I know I'm like going about it with you because I did it. When we talked the scarf is like the perfect swag for me.
The bandana, yeah, it's I'm really excited how they turned out. I had the idea for a long time, but making the idea go from my head onto, you know, an actual production thing took kind of a long time. I'm very good at ideas and even visualizing it and sketching it out, but the actual artistic part of it is very much not my strong suit. And it took me a long time to find someone that actually would hand make it in the U.S. So they're all handmade and hand sewn in the U.S. I do only have a few of those left, but again, I will be distributing the remainder of those as well. So you have to see.
I'll give you an arm and a leg.
I do like them. I was excited to see a bunch of people excited about them and wearing them. So it's always
that was
always
for last NomCon maybe. Yeah. No, when did you start?
The scarves? No. I made them. I got the box just before Christmas, I think it was.
Okay.
Last year. Yeah. Either just before or just after Christmas, I can't remember. But and then I was not planning to go to NoobCon. Yeah. So I had sort of made a call like, hey, does anybody want some? Because I made 60 or 62, I can't remember exactly, something like that. And like 50 of them instantly were like, yes, they went.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I had sent a bunch to GloryCon in the US because there was a bunch of guys coming from the West Coast and the East Coast. And then some of them were going to Europe for Arvika, going to Europe for NoobCon. I was like, okay, well, so I gave it, Will took a bunch to Arvika and distributed a bunch of Arvika for me. If I didn't know,
that's
coming,
the best pronunciation of Arvika I've heard from a foreign speaker, like to date. Good on you. Lastly, I have two minutes here before I'm leaving.
Yes.
What's your favorite? Did you receive any favorite swag during the weekend, or another favorite swag in memory, in memorium?
That's a good. I mean, I thought. I see you're drinking one of the beers. I mean, there was some great swag. I think the beers were cool. The coloring books.
That's Luring.
Luring,
from the Stockholm 08 crew. And
yeah,
I got a misprinted one. I don't really have time for this, but I just want to tell you. He bought a bunch of coloring. It's a coloring book for people, whatever. But you needed crayons, and he bought a bunch of crayons. But there's only one black crayon in each pack, and basically all you need is black. So I got a misprinted one with no black because he needed to add up. He didn't have enough black.
That's funny. That's funny. Yeah, no, those were great. I mean, those are super great. I mean, I managed to peel off the sticker off the beer.
Yeah, that was really good. I will do that also.
And put it on
my binder.
I have like an anti-binder. So I stuck it on the anti-binder. So that was super easy. And that's just cool. It's kind of because I wasn't sure. I was like, oh, I'm going to take this. I don't know what I'm going to do with it. And then, I floated the label off and stuck it on, which is great.
Yeah.
The little drinking flask as well, I guess.
Yeah, can buy it's for liquor, I guess. Yeah.
I'm all there.
Good.
Yeah, I like the things like, hey, you can buy this drinking flask for when you're not supposed to be drinking, but nobody drink in the venue.
And that goes for the beer also I'm drinking right now. First Gordon said it's fine, they're okay with it, and I was like, oh, apparently I told a lie. Whatever,
that sounds about right.
Simon, love having you on as always, and hope to see you in the future, and have a nice, I guess, day over there.
Going on? Hey, lovely chatting, Seb, good to see you again. And
till next time. That's it. Bye-bye.
Cheers. Bye.
Hello, Sebastian, Celia.
Yeah,
how are you?
Yeah, hello, hello.
Want to pick a fight?
Yeah, fight. always. But you sent a really good invitation to the, I guess, mustache-friendly environment. And it was at Skansen-Kronan. And was that basically the main mustache event, Skansen-Kronan, or was it the extended weekend?
It was extended to the weekend, but Skansen-Kronan was the mustache-friendly environment. So there were more mustaches at Skansen-Kronan.
I think so also, yeah. But I got more compliments on it during the NuCon event.
I received also lots of compliments, to be honest. Also, Dijon gave out the photos. And a lot of players, they added their mustache pic to their Facebook profile.
Like... To be clear, I was, I don't know what the first one, but since everyone is connected on Facebook, we nowadays use Facebook for events and people need to have Facebook to play old school in a sense, I guess. But I added it and I added the link to Dion's, like the site for all the pictures. He took a lot of pictures. He's a great photographer.
I just sent him a message and said, you are an art master of photography. So it's so good to have him around that he takes the photos.
I just wanted to add to the books that I was first adding it on the Facebook page, but now I see everyone using it.
You're so good. Yeah, you're the best. You are Seb.
thank you.
You are the bringer of ideas.
This is what I want to hear.
Nobody would think about that.
No, exactly.
Amazing
photograph
onto his Facebook page. Wow.
This is so mind-blowing. Wow. And when everyone saw it, what I'm saying is I brought the link to the people.
Yes.
Because Dion didn't really... I don't think he's not pushing himself on us in that sense, but he's a good photographer.
But he should. He's a craft, a mastering craft and arts of photography.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, I have a couple of questions, Render. So, do you want the good ones or the bad ones first?
First, the bad ones.
The bad ones, okay. Did you, because we have in general, idea, but only for I didn't feel it, but like a couple of people feeling it was a competitive environment and all that. Do you agree with that this year?
To be honest, if you do not expect a competitive environment, then do not join NuCon because
or play Magic.
Old school lost his virginity, to be honest. So the virginity of playing Nicol Bolas and I don't know. Clay statue or whatever. Clay statue is played, okay, or whatever cards. Like, it's gone, to be honest. And I mean, there is a shark at stake, so it has to be spiky in some place.
Yeah.
And I get those people which say we would love to have it like the old ways when we just meet in a pub, play some Magic. This is very cool. I would also love that, but I think it's over.
Mm-hmm.
I do not attack anybody which says it was too competitive. I just say, I think when a shark eats a steak, it's the normal environment.
That's my kind of take about it also, because I feel this is just for me. I have no idea in general. I just played both the events, and you were a organizer, co-organizer for both of them. And that's the Skansen Kronan and then the Loopcon. And I feel in general that when the shark is not online, you don't see as many the decks, right?
To be honest, also, you are right. But I do not think that the players which say it was too competitive, it was about the decks. It was maybe about the whole environment at the tables.
Okay.
So if you meet opponents which rarely speak one word and just focus on the cards, or which play very slow or very fast or very the spiky way, I think this is more the thing. And this you can do with the deck or with mono green. So both is possible.
You can be spiky with a bad deck.
Yeah, it's like the environment which you bring to the table. And there are most of the players, I guess, are there for having fun, drinking beer, but also getting the shark. So there is this balance between drinking too much and not win the shark, for sure.
Or if you drink it too much.
Yes, if you drink too much, you will not win the shark. Or drink the exact amount to win the shark and have fun, or drink nothing at all. And all is fine, because we do not say we like the one persons or the others. It's more the attitude which one brings at the table.
Yeah.
And I think this is something which I heard from, let's say, 10% of the players, that there are players which rarely share something about themselves. They only focus on the game.
Okay.
And ladies and gents, this also has space in old school, because we are a huge community.
Yeah.
Now, and old school lost its virginity, so we are not in 2001 anymore, where there are 20 players, everybody knows its opponent's name, and
yeah, I hear you. You're here.
Something happened with a computer. Oh,
no, it's fine.
I'm back.
Yeah, no, you're here.
I think it's not good or not bad, but just complaining about the spikiness of opponents or decks is like, come on, it's a shark stake. So
I think I agree with you, but I just wanted to hear you say it. My other general question, I guess, it's not a the hard hitting questions, but like the venues overall, where do we land in the end? Like, how do you feel about it now that you went through it? And you must have had I've just seen it on Facebook, basically, and we didn't have a chat about it, but you must have had so much, I guess not complaints, but questions and stuff hitting your way.
Questions about what exactly?
I guess we went from Rotary to the Gruvan. And then there were PayPal. There weren't PayPal. How did it all end up?
So first of all, we had to change the venue in about 20 days notice, something. Because Rotary informed us 20 days before the event that they had some emergency exit things, fire policies, regulations, and we are not allowed to be more than eight players in the basketball court, so in the gymnasium.
Yeah.
So then we had to find a new one. So we
found, it's four on four on the basketball court.
Yeah, something like this. and this is something about fire regulations. And
yeah, I think they're rebuilding
reconstructing whatever.
At the Royal Republic,
And then we found Kogruvan, and I got in contact with those, and they told me, like, yeah, you cannot pay cash. So it's the complete opposite from Rotary Pop, where you can only pay cash. But this year they changed. You can pay now by card, by the way. So in Rotary. And then they gave me the information that they only accept Swish and Revolut. and mm-hmm. then I had to go back and forth with them that they accept also PayPal. And yeah, it was a little bit cumbersome, I know, because PayPal, not everybody's used too much with PayPal and pay by the barcode, etc. Finally, it ended up all good. I had also complaints about this, but I said, yeah, I really cannot change it because this is something which you just have to take. You can also find a nice Swedish guy with Swish and then give him money and maybe he buys you beer. Overall, I think there were a lot of players which said, yeah, it's a little bit cumbersome, but it's okay. So it was not the best solution, but I think it was
okay. Yeah, I didn't hear any complaints going into that day. But before, everyone was a bit like,
before everybody distress. Was like, like what should we do?
What's going on? I will not be able to buy anything. Yeah, whatever. Okay.
And I always said, like, you know, guys, I live in Switzerland and I organize something in Sweden.
Yeah.
No clue what's going on with Swiss.
I'm trying over here. I'm trying.
Please. No, everything went well. I just today I received a WhatsApp from the Kolgruvan staff and they said, thank you. It was such a great event. The crowd was so good. We enjoyed it so much. So the venue thanked us to be there. So
good. I think that's true also for Skansen Krona, right? Because
he's very happy. I mean,
I hang out at the bar and I don't. He's maybe not the owner, but the guy who's in charge there.
He's the owner, Hendrik.
Okay. He took a bunch of photos every time you stood there and was happy in any sense. It was like, oh, let me take a picture.
He was so happy. And even if I wanted to pay my staff my beers, he said, oh, come on, I will put it on the bill and I will give you some discount. You are so good. You are so mad. Good people. And they were so
happy. And then you had sex.
Of course. So yeah. First enough. No,
so good.
Before, when we called him or mailed him like in January and asked for the, and he said, anytime you can join and have fun with your crowd anytime in Skansen. So he even gave us discount on the whole thing. So he was so happy with us. And still. So if you can book Skansen Kronar, guys, it's a great location also for weddings and birthday parties.
I'm hoping
and magic tournaments.
I'm hoping this is a tradition that we have the Thursday evening at Skansen Kronar, because that's for me, but I'm not talking for everyone. Once again, I think it's a leisure, even though noise level and there's things with venues, whatever, but I really appreciate like that tournament. Everyone, that's the first day tournament, and it's everyone's so happy. And I think it's a great place to start, kick everything off at least.
Next year we will switch the floors so that the top floors are on the top and the bottom floors are the bottom tables are on the.
Yeah, that's a good call. Yeah,
the top tables are at the upper floor, and the bottom tables are at the bottom floor.
Because what Brinder is starting to say here is that if you did good, you still had to stay at the more noisily leveled floor. But if you did bad, you went to the silent floor. I don't know if
paradise.
Maybe it was paradise. Good to have. I don't know if are the bottom players more rowdy. Maybe that's a good thing. I don't know.
Probably.
It's good. Just keep them upstairs.
But I heard a lot of good vibes that we managed it like this. That we put the table 31 to like 44, I guess.
Yeah.
On the top floor, because then the noise level was quite okay. On both floors, it was even quiet and easy to play on the top floors.
I also have a question from regarding to a missing piece that's walking about that you have.
It's walking around. It was walking around at Kolgruvan, I heard. Apparently.
there's a force of nature. What's that? What's going on?
I honestly don't know. so I heard rumors that I lost it in an Ante game.
Okay. I you lost a Force of Nature that's graded,
it's,
right?
It's graded like 6.5.
Is it a better one even? Or is it
a better,
Yeah.
I love Force of Nature overall. So it was one of my pet cards when I was young, because it's 8/8 for 6. Come on, guys.
Okay.
This is great. I never owned one when I was in school. So when those beer coasters thing went up, like in 2018-ish.
Like people using graded cards for beer coasters. Yeah.
Yes, yes. So I bought 6.5 beta Force of Will graded.
Force of Nature.
Force of Nature, yeah, of course, sorry.
I don't know if you might have a Force of Will.
No, it's not the Force. No,
yeah,
no. I bought the Force of Nature graded, and then I brought it to my tournaments and used this as a beer coaster. So and apparently last year, like in July, August maybe, in August I rearranged all my stuff and I made a stuff box with all my stuff in it, magic related stuff, and then I saw that my Force of Nature is missing. This was normally in the stuff box, so. Mm. And it was missing. And I went okay, maybe I lost it at the tournament or I left it on a table. And then I made a Facebook post like, has anybody found maybe a Force of Nature graded 6.5? And then it all started. One day or 2 days later, there was the Instagram account with Force of Nature NTG. And
So weird.
Yes, so weird. And then it was like, somebody wrote me like, isn't this yours? And it was tagged with reindeer and with a Rudolph the reindeer with Magic Gathering, Swiss ski resort, something, I don't know.
I think I see at least 6 people holding the actual.
So I guess
at least one of them are me, so I don't know how that happened.
Nobody knows.
Yeah,
so probably they went with a black car, with a black bus, and they put it you something over your head.
Yeah, and then they drove me to some place somewhere that I had to, like, just like you do with newspapers in that scenario.
Yes,
like hold up the date, but it's a Force of Nature to show that I'm alive, and it's me. Yeah.
So maybe they show to me that it's alive. So
mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm a little bit sad that it's not signed. So
who should sign it?
Everybody.
Okay, so all the quote unquote prisoners or whoever.
All the quote unquote true believers.
True believers. That's good.
I mean, okay. I love the photo from Bonnie, by the way. It looks like a very bad mugshot. So
every other picture do. Yeah. And we're edging into the fun sphere of questions overall. How did you feel the weekend? What was your most positive moments? You didn't play the Skansen Krona event, right?
I played both. Yeah.
Oh, you did.
I played both. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I played both.
Okay.
Overall, I felt overwhelmed. So it was so great to be there, to meet all the cool, crazy, nice guys and ladies. We arrived at Wednesday. So we met at Levantine. This is our place to be at Wednesday evening with like 12, 14 people, including David Combs and Michelle from Tasmania. It was great that they made the trip to Europe. So overall, I think it was the gathering overall as usual. So the hangs and the gathering, which gave me so much energy. But honestly, when I went home on Saturday, I was so tilted, like tired, positively tired.
tired. When you're tilted, you're just angry, aren't you?
Oh, tilt. Okay, then I was like a hangover.
Yeah, a hungover. Yeah, well, I guess of being tilted. Yeah,
I'm not a native speaker, so sorry.
No. English. Me neither. But when you tilt, usually you're like angry, going about. I guess. Yeah, whatever.
No, I was not angry and I was not hungry, so both not true.
But you were hungover, on Saturday.
I was, oh my god. Somebody put me something in my drinks, I guess. That's Friday.
That's on Friday. That is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I drank maybe.
I think you wanted to mustache kiss me maybe 3 or 4 times. So that makes sense. That computes.
Mustaching.
Mustaching. Hey, yeah. Seb. Mustache.
Yeah, I'm sorry if I was a little bit nagging everybody.
No, you were really not. You were lovely.
Okay, cool.
Of course.
Cool, bro. Mm. Yeah, I was really drunk. So.
Yeah, but on Saturday you felt a bit hungover.
Over.
And then did you manage to like get through it, or were you like so?
Yeah, I mean, we went up at like 11-ish. Then we had to check out. Then we went to the airport, had some food, but my head was exploding. So I traveled with Danny Imfeld.
Well, if you're going home, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Then I went home and
did what everyone expected of you. You managed to be an excellent player and organizer hangover for the days you needed to be. And then hungover for Saturday when you're hanging out with a bunch of other people going home. Who cares?
Who cares? Yes. Then I go home and then I was relaxing for 2 days. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
No activities.
Just no lying. Activities, just lying in bed looking at the ceiling.
I restarted Zelda through
The Breath of Wilds or
Tears of the Kingdom.
Tears of Kingdom. Well, okay, cool. Are you playing it in, I guess it's the Switch one, right?
Switch, yeah. Zelda is only available by Nintendo. So.
Which one? Because I have a 9-year. Maybe we should end with this question. Like, I have a 9-year-old. Which one should I start with? You don't need to go back to the 8-bit. Yes. No?
Yes, you should start with Zelda, The Legend of Zelda. No, okay. It's maybe too hard for a 9-year-old.
I think so.
The best Zelda for me is Zelda Link to the Past.
Mm-hmm.
So the Super Nintendo one, which is also available on Switch.
Okay.
So I would, to be honest, I would start with this. I also love the sequel, like it was only available on the Nintendo Double Screen DS.
Mm-hmm.
It's I don't know the name. It's in the same world as A Link to the Past, but Link
something can, some Zelda something something.
Yeah, he can move to like a wall.
Ah, so, okay, it's a bit like Paper Mario.
Yeah, okay. So this is all, but I don't think you can play it.
Switch.
Yeah, on Switch I don't, but on Switch you can play Minish Cap, which I also pretty much encourage.
I'm starting with the Super Nintendo version. I'm going to get him. He has a birthday on Sunday, so
and then do Minish Cap, and then you can go into Breath of the Wild easily.
Yeah.
And I know everybody will hate me for this, but I completely dislike the Nintendo 64 Zelda. So.
I think that's
no Ocarina of Time for me, bro.
Okay, so, yeah, that's one of the more popular ones. Reindeer actually have a picture from my son. I think he used it as a profile pic. He did it to censor out.
Otherwise I would be banned for
that. Because it's a robot. Peeing acid. So there's a dick on the robot that it is as well. If anyone's in the profile pic, that's my son. Okay, I loved hanging out with you, Reindeer. I just feel sad that we didn't hang out more, I guess. Are there any other things you wanted to add before? Any last words? Zelda. Okay. Well. Okay. This is my last question. This is my final question.
Okay.
Lego enthusiasts, what's your favorite Lego project that you can also include a kid in? I guess in that sense, the same question as
a 9-year-old.
Yeah, I guess so. 9-ish. Yeah.
So what I.
What would you go for? You've been doing Star Wars, you've been doing Batman.
I would not go for Star Wars because it's completely lame as freaking
Yeah, but your collection is huge. You have. So
I will not. Yeah, I will. you should join my reinvitation, then I can show you in person. So
yeah.
Maybe I would start with either a creator set, a building. Mm-hmm. They are really cool to build, like the three layer ones, like the Detective Bureau or the summer marketplace. Those are really cool to build with a 9 year old. Mm-hmm. Or if you want to go into like fantasy stuff, Rivendell is really good to build.
Mm-hmm.
And you can do it together, because I do it with my son, which is 6 years old. And it's really a nice set to build.
Okay. And that, so
it's also one of my favorite sets all the time.
Yeah. Lord of the Rings.
Yeah. And if we want to believe the rumors, then Barad Dur is coming out in July.
Oh, that's sick. I love Lord of the Rings, so that's nice. If I see you at the render invitation, I will try to get a copy of, but that's impossible. But Bilbo with the Finnish author of Moomin Troll, she did an excellent.
Oh wow!
Okay, whatever.
So I even have something special. I have here the Batwing, and I have something which nobody has. It's the signatures of the designer of the Batwing.
Ooh, yeah. Ooh,
so it's maybe a one into one.
That's something you and I have in common also. We love the Batman franchise overall.
I think everybody loves Batman.
Yeah, we do. Okay, Render, I cool. loved hanging out, and thank you for joining us this evening.
Thank you very much, and I wish you a nice evening.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Please flip the cassette over to side B to continue the adventure.